Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slaves or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him.
All right. Thank you, Clark. That was awesome. Word of God is awesome, and you did a great job reading it. Welcome this morning. My name's Jeff, one of the pastors here at Adventure Church. If you're visiting us this morning, you're jumping into a series that we're doing in Ephesians, and that is the passage that we're going to walk through this morning together. And as you can see, we're going to talk about parenting, talk about being a kid. And parenting is just stressful sometimes and difficult. And I think as parents, we've realized sometimes we just need to lighten up and be able to laugh at ourselves. And so we're going to start in, before we go into the true wisdom from Paul and from God in this scripture, we're going to get some parenting input from Tim Hawkins.
I love to communicate to music. I just started communicating with music to my kids. They don't listen to me talking anymore. I just use their songs and get my point across. You know, seriously, you should try it. It's awesome. They do listen. We're at the mall the other day. They're just begging me for an iPhone for an hour. But I said, dude, I'm not gonna buy you an iPhone, cause you ask for it like you need one. You don't, I'm not gonna buy you an iPhone. You're insane if you think I'll pay for it. So be on your way, I'm not gonna listen, go away. You're wasting all your time, here's a dime if you find a payphone, but no iPhone today. And that's what I do. I got an older kid now, man. I had to use a Chris Daughtry song the other day. Well, you stayed out too late last night. I heard you sneaking in. Hanging out at who knows where. Don't even try to blame this on your friends. Trust me, dude, it won't happen again. You're staying home. It's a place where you belong. You've done wrong and now you're grounded for a week. I still love you, but you keep breaking your curfew. You'll regret how late you chose to be. Your abuses and excuses are getting old. So you're staying home. You're staying home. I had to write a Jason Mraz song the other day for my kids. Oh, I found something under your belt, I smelt it. An old bologna sandwich with some cheese that had melted. Fell right through the cracks. And it's getting funky bad. Go get a paper towel and some Febreze. Open up a window, man, that stinks. Get down on your knees and clean that rug, rug, rug. Oh, it's time to fumigate your bedroom, boy. It cannot wait. Good Lord. Oh, Lord.
All right. So, yeah, it can be difficult being a parent, and it can be humorous. One time when early on, some of you know my kids Lydia and Bear. Lydia was, don't worry, I'm not going to embarrass you. Sorry, Star, I'm going to embarrass you. Lydia was maybe 2 years old, and Bear was 1 year old, and we were living in Eastern Europe, and we lived right by the border of Greece, and the country where we lived didn't have a lot of kind of grocery stuff available that we liked, so we'd go to Greece periodically, stay there, kind of get a break from the missions work we were doing, and we'd buy a bunch of groceries, so we were always coming back after a couple days there with, you know, duffel bags full of special stuff that we'd picked up. So that was always kind of tricky, because it was my wife, Star, and I, and then two toddlers, and then like six duffel bags full of stuff, plus our just, you know, our stuff that we had for staying there. And so it was always this game of getting everything down to the parking, or down to the sidewalk, because we're right in the middle of in a big city in Greece, and then getting a taxi set up to kind of drive in just in time, so we're not like awkwardly sitting there with a bunch of bags on the side of the road. And so I'm working on, you know, moving cargo down to the road, and Star, I kind of hear her frantic about something up on the sidewalk in front of the hotel in front of me, and I'm like, what's going on? And she's pacing back and forth saying, Bear! Where are you? Bear! And she goes into the lobby and comes back out, Bear! And she's up and down the street, and I'm like, is she calling for Bear? And I turn around, and she's running back and forth with Bear in her arms. Bear! Where are you? Where did you go? I'm like, you know, Bear's looking up at her like, this is fun. Mom's gone nuts. I'm like, Star, look down. Like, literally startled her. The bear was right there. But nobody here has ever lost their glasses on the top of their head, have they? So, anyways, as we look into parenting this morning, we start with kids. Raise your hand if you have a belly button. Wow, we got some weird people in here. About 20 of you didn't raise your hand. Only Adam and Eve did not have belly buttons. So, point is, we've all been children. We're all currently, even as adults, children to a mother or father, whether they're still alive, whether they had a part in raising you or not, or investing in you or not. So let's kind of work through the verses here and talk a little bit about it. First three verses say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Okay, so family service here. So we're speaking to all you little kids, big kids with belly buttons. One thing that really jumps out here that we're going to talk about is Paul saying, for this is right. How does that feel to hear that? It should feel great to know that there is right and wrong. God lays it out very clearly. And he says to obey your parents. So he takes us back to the Old Testament, the command that said, obey your father and mother. Now in our culture, this is, in our culture and cultures throughout history, this is a concept that's been really challenged. And it's a big deal right now. And kids, you may experience this at school. This idea of think independently. And what you think is right for you. Okay? I just heard recently about a group. It's actually, they're a pretty dark group, a satanic group in Seattle that wants to start clubs at public schools. And I have actually started to do that. And they're targeting any schools that have a Bible club after school. So one of the things in the interview with them that stood out to me about this concept is they said, we're not trying to convert anybody. That's not our goal. We just want to promote independent thinking. And we want kids to be able to think independently. And what does that sound like? Does that sound like a conversation that we read about in the garden? I mean, you can see the fingerprints of the enemy all over that. Think independently. What you think is right is right for you. And we know where that leads. And so Paul's very clear in this instruction to kids, when it comes to your parents, obey them, for this is right. And he goes on to to explain what that looks like. And he uses the word honor. So obey and honor are two different words. However, there's so much more to honoring your parents than just obeying them. Because you can obey your parents and disrespect them and dishonor them and just do what they say to do it. Honor means to prize, to fix a valuation upon. That's kind of a big way of saying to decide that what your parents are important to you and valuable to you. And you're going to respect them, revere that respect that you're going to have for them. So that's the command for us, is to step into honor. And that's a command that we can all step into, whatever age we are. And there's all kinds of different stories in here, even speaking to the adults now with your parents and the situations, how you experienced them growing up. What is your relationship with them now? How do you speak about them in front of your kids when you talk about them? All these instructions that we're going through. So in this series, Paul, remember, this is all one letter to a group of believers. Okay, we've taken a few months, but they didn't take a few months to read this to the group. They read it in one sitting. And so Paul has been explaining who we are as the family of God and that we're to bring this light into the world. And now he's showing us, what does that look like in your everyday relationships, like marriage we talked about last week. Now we're talking about in the family, between parents and children. Okay, and he makes it very clear through this letter and other letters that he wrote, that it's not about the other person acting like Jesus and then you can fulfill your role, okay? It's not about your parents being perfect like Jesus and then we will honor them. No, as we speak right now and direct our instruction to children, honor your parents. That's an instruction for us to step into, regardless maybe of some of the hurts that have come through our parents. How can we do that, still honor them? Maybe there's some safeties we have to put in place in how we relate to them. But how can we move into that honoring, because that's showing them God, showing them God's character, seeing some value in them and placing that value on them. Okay, the fruit of obedience is, Paul says here, now if you look at in the Old Testament, when the commandment was given, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you, that promised land back in the Old Testament that God was giving his people. And then Paul generalizes it up here to all of us, okay, to the believers, and says that you may enjoy long life on the earth and that it may go well with you. Okay, practically speaking, we can understand what that looks like if you obey your parents. What if they're teaching you about looking both ways before you cross the street? Do you think it might help you live a long life if you listen to that advice? You're supposed to shake your head and say, yes, my sons. Okay? Yes, that's practical, you know, practically speaking. If they're teaching you about healthy living, maybe, you know, eating well, eating your vegetables. Ooh, that's not fun. But your parents have lived longer and watched their bodies fall apart, and they know that you have to take care of your body. Okay? And it will go well with you. Okay? So those are practical ways, but you might say, well, I've known people who honored their parents and loved them, and they didn't live a long life. They didn't live a long life like this verse says. And that's where we have to step into trust. Okay? It's like in Matthew, on that point, in Matthew 7:7, Jesus was teaching, he said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. So our position in that command is to step into that and do that. And as people, we always want to control the other side of it and know, well, why isn't it happening? Anybody ever prayed here for something specifically and didn't really see it, at least as you could understand, realized that way? Anybody ever done that? I have. Okay? I still pray, and I still ask and seek and knock, because I trust God with the outcomes of that and the results of that. So having an example of somebody who didn't live a long life but honored their father and mother is no reason for me to not step into God's commands in obedience and trust that he can work all that out and explain that later. But our call is to obedience. So those are some things for kids to remember. And like I said, there's something in there for whatever age group you're in. Now we're going to move to Paul addresses fathers here, and I think there's some application for moms and dads. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And he is addressing fathers here. We know that the training and instruction came through mother and father, and the obedience, you know, even in the commandment in the Old Testament, was given to what? Obey your father and mother. So we know that there's an obedience that comes through that, and an important role that both play. We'll talk a little bit more about why maybe he's addressing fathers here in a minute. But first, this word, exasperate. I would like some kids who are under the age of 12, or 12 or under, to help me understand what does exasperate mean. Does anybody have an idea? And it's okay if you're wrong. Anybody want to offer up an idea? Oh, we got one here. To negatively do something, that's a good start. We can build on that. Yeah?
Maybe ignore.
Ignore? Okay. Ignoring might cause you to exasperate your kids. So I think one girl said first service to annoy. And that's actually, you know, a kind of a mild way of saying what exasperate means. Really, exasperate means to anger or provoke to wrath. Okay, any of you ever seen your kids in wrath before? Colossians 3:21 expands on that. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. And that gives us some enlightenment on why Paul's giving this instruction. Because it leads to discouragement. So really, the instruction to fathers here specifically, because in that culture that Paul's speaking to, fathers oftentimes would hold authority over their kids based on the just family structure, until the father passes away. And there would oftentimes be a very heavy-handed approach to that. There was love and affection as well expressed in the culture. But what Paul wanted to do was highlight the fact that you're to train up your kid, not discourage them. Encourage them, not discourage them. Now, some parents might be thinking like me, what if your motives are right, your heart's right, and you're stepping in and you see something that needs to be corrected and you're training and instructing, and it still provokes your kid to wrath, you know? Okay? It still provokes them to anger. What's going on there? Because where we have to be careful as parents is not to go to a place of, okay, so I can tell if I'm disciplining correctly if my kid doesn't get angry. Can we do that? Is that a good gauge? No, that's not a good gauge. Hebrews 12:7 says, no discipline is pleasant at the time, but brings benefit to those who heed it. Okay, so there's two parts to this relationship, as we've been learning in all these different relationships. Discipline doesn't always feel good. And sometimes we can get angry out of our own sinfulness. So kids, now, speaking to you, it's not about you saying, well, mommy or daddy spoke a certain way, or they, dad, you're exasperating me again. See, your role is to walk in obedience, and your mom or dad are going to walk with God in their role. But you're doing completely your part if you walk in obedience and respect and honor your mom and dad. So that's something that you have to work out, and I think all of us in different relationships have to walk out is what's our heart posture towards an instruction that we're supposed to follow. Bring them up and nourish them. Now, this is interesting to look at this. In this verse 4, bring them up right here is actually the same word used a few verses before in the conversation about husbands and wives, where Paul is talking about how Christ, you know, love your wife as yourself, and as you take care of your own body, and as Christ takes care of his church. Same word as bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. That was back in verse 29. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares. Same word used there for it. Just as Christ does the church. So isn't that interesting? That it's really a nourishing that Paul's instructing for parents here, calling fathers up to that too. I think mothers naturally step into that even more. And there's an instruction here for Paul's speaking to fathers, saying, step into that. Be an active part of that. Lead out in that even, in that training and instruction. See, we're constantly in these situations daily where we're not expecting it, but there's significant moments where we can speak into our kids' lives. And it's not just at the graduation or at these major events. Now, I was watching the Olympics a couple nights ago, and Michael Phelps was winning another gold medal, and they were interviewing him afterwards. And he had a moment, a significant moment hit him. And I think it caught him off guard. And so there's no judgment here to Michael Phelps at all, because I could very well have been in the same situation, you know, because I'm a good swimmer. But, right? Yeah, sink like a rock. But the interviewer did something very significant in that moment because, you know, he's probably in his last Olympics and he's got a little baby there this time. And she asked him, if there's something you'd want your son to know when he looks back on this moment, what would you want him to know? What would you want to say to him? And of course, you know, when his son grows up and hears the legacy of his dad, he's going to watch these videos. He's going to see his dad on a world stage speaking some kind of wisdom or truth into this experience. And Phelps, from what I can remember, Star made this observation, how significant that opportunity was. But we couldn't really remember that he had anything really to say. I think he just kind of like, I don't know what to say. And those are moments where we can speak life into our kids. And it doesn't have to be when you're getting your gold medal. Okay? It can be in everyday life. Paul's saying, step up. Drop the passivity and start nurturing, training up your kids. And be ready at any moment for that. important thing to remember here is the motivation to train and discipline is out of love. Proverbs says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. Okay? Maybe I'm different than all of you, but if I'm in the middle of discipline with one of my kids, it's hard for me to be in that place of, I'm doing this because I delight in you. Okay? You just took a Sharpie and scribbled all over the wall that I told you not to do that, but I'm going to discipline you now because I'm just so delighted with you in this moment. You just, you know, you just give me warm fuzzies inside, and so I'm going to discipline you, and it's not going to be fun, but it's because I delight in you. It's hard to be in that place. Really. But the motivation, this is the proper motivation. Because you delight in your child and you want to see them walk in the ways of the Lord and for it to go well with them and for them to glorify God with their lives, you discipline. And so oftentimes the problem that we don't get motivated by this is we're motivated by what other people see. And that brings stress and we get angry a lot quicker. If my kids don't get in line and don't, you know, I experience this stress as a pastor, you know, my kids are supposed to be perfect, right? No, they're not perfect, and I hope they don't feel that way, because we're all on this journey together. But if we're driven by that, then it's not about delighting in your child anymore. It's not about instructing them out of love that they would go on the right path. It's about looking good for other people. And there's two sides to that coin. We're also guilty of casting that judgment and not understanding. You know, when I was in my early 20s, I knew everything about parenting. I should have become a parenting counselor because I'd watch people with kids before I had any and just think, man, Star, let's have like 10 kids because I got this figured out. They're just totally blowing it. You know, here's the things they're doing wrong. And that, you know, obviously was crushed once I had kids. And I had the 20-year-olds looking at me telling me what I was doing wrong. So there's a grace that's given there, but there's also get your motivations right, regardless of what judgments people have. Just remember, you know what? I'm seeking to do what's right. Take advice. It's good. Take the advice, and it's actually easier to take the advice when you know it's not about you and your report card. It's about seeing your kid grow up in the Lord. So let's move on here. And you may be wondering, how are we going to address slaves and masters? Hopefully nobody in here has slaves, because that system, thankfully, is no longer in play. But let's read what we can learn from this. I think there's a lot of application. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. So Paul's not saying, I'm here to end slavery. Okay, when he was speaking to this group, slavery was an accepted practice. It was, people were in those situations. And what he does is he speaks to wherever you're at, whatever situation you find yourself in, live out your faith before, you know, your relationships. And in the end, what happened was it changed the culture. And the Roman Empire actually fell, and probably largely due to the growth of the church and the change of values. And eventually, influential men and women who took on these values were able to move in ways that slavery became abolished. And that was the end result. But I think wisdom of God said, we're not coming here to just have Paul stand out and say, I'm here to end slavery, and off with his head. But no, he encouraged through the Spirit, he encouraged Paul to say, wherever you're at, show him Christ. Whatever situation you're in, show them Christ. And I think this can apply a lot to our workplaces. I think speaking to kids, it could apply to your chores, maybe. Which also applies to the first one about obeying your parents and honoring them. But how you do your work, okay? So let's talk about the workplace. A few years back, I worked at a lumber company, and I had an employer who was amazing. He was a Christian man, and he was just a great example of living out what we're going to learn about how the masters, or how the those over in authority, are to treat the servants or the ones who are working. And you may say, "Yeah, master slave, this fits my work situation perfectly." But he was great. I mean, he treated us like I would feel like Christ would treat us if I was tending Jesus' garden. You know, if things were going well and profitable, he shared that with us. He blessed us. He'd throw big parties and just invite all of us to come and share the fruit of our labor. And the funny thing is, I worked with a lot of my coworkers were not Christian, and some of them were, but they'd complain about him. And they'd still somehow find ways of just talking down about him and disrespecting him. And it just drove me nuts. It was just so frustrating to be like, it doesn't matter how you're treated. You're going to step into what our culture finds as funny and humorous, and it's in the comics, and it's in the TV shows, and it's just normal. You rat on your boss. You just always just down on him all the time. It's just what you do. And this concept that Paul's getting across here really doesn't, you can't transfer that into your work situation and keep doing that. Honestly, I don't care how your boss treats you. Like I said, we're called to something higher as believers. We're called to live up to something higher, regardless of how we're being treated. Sincerity of heart, that means sincerity of heart, you can't have sincerity of heart if you're different in different situations. If in this situation you're a certain way, but now the boss is looking because now, you know, pleasing men is more important to me, or even out of fear, I'm acting a certain way. So sincerity of heart is being the same in every situation. It doesn't matter. If there was a little camera that caught you on video talking about your boss or working in your workplace at any given time, you're the same, like you're working for God wholeheartedly. And that's the concept of working as unto the Lord. Colossians says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Everything. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. So that's a concept that we can actually, idea of submission that Paul's really talking about in all these verses in relationship. Remember, he started all this with submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. That's an example that we give even to our kids. How do you talk about your boss in front of your kids? You know, that's not a place to be playing down on him or insulting or being disrespectful. It's an opportunity for them to see, wow, you know, my dad honors those who are in authority over him. And that's how they get and understand that idea of submission, healthy submission. Our reward is found in God. That's a faith builder, and you have to have faith to walk in this concept. If you're looking to man for your reward, you're going to be motivated to do things right when they're looking and to manipulate things, to be what we call a brown noser. You know, whatever's going to make my boss happy, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do it when he can see. And if that means stepping on my coworker's toes, I'm going to do that. But this says, you know what, God's going to reward me for what I do. I don't care if he's looking or not. I really don't. I truly trust that at some point there will be a reward, because God rewards those who do good and do right. That might be in heaven. It might not be a monetary reward that I see, but God's going to cover my needs. And you trust him and you move forward in that way. And so that's kind of the posture that he's talking about, that you can think about in your workplace. Do I live that way? With a sincerity of heart, wholehearted, and looking to God for a reward, not men. It takes a lot of tension out of relationships. And then finally, last verse, masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Okay, so now looking at this concept that Paul, you know, might strike you as, you know, this is crazy. Paul's talking to slaves and masters, and why isn't he just like doing away with this idea of slave master? Well, right here now, he just leveled the playing field with this verse. We're going to look at why. First off, this was a radical concept that he's teaching here. And we read it like, yeah, of course, you know, masters should be good. There shouldn't even be slavery, you know. But he's speaking to an accepted practice in the culture. So if he was speaking to a group like this, there's slaves sitting in here, there's masters sitting in here, functioning in those. And it's not a, gosh, is this right or wrong? Or, you know, it's just an accepted practice. And he's saying to them now, guess what? There's a different way of relating to your slaves. You're going to look at them differently now. You're not going to motivate them to do good by fear. You're going to love them with a relationship like you have with Christ. You're going to bring that into your relationship now and how you treat them. And he's elevating the slave in their eyes. And he's saying, you guys are both the same. So it's countercultural. And that was a big shock to them. Secondly, role determines function, not value. Okay? That's that concept we talked about last week, even with husbands and wives. If you look here, he who is both their master and yours, there's no favoritism with him. Okay? They both have the same master. And so as they move into that relationship more and more, like I said, both of them should be reflecting. If you may be an employer, okay, you may have employees, and this is an opportunity for you to say, wow, how am I treating them? Do I want to be like God and reward those who do good? I don't want to leave it to God to have to cover for everything that I'm not doing in blessing and recognizing and rewarding those who are working diligently. I want to beat God to it, kind of, you know what I mean? And God still sees that, and there's still reward even from God. But we're trying to be like him, right? So next week, we're moving into the armor of God, which is kind of our last section of Ephesians for this series. And looking at all this, Paul explaining that we're a part of the family of God, we're to be light, and then now there's relationships involved. Okay, that's great to know all those things, but it's not about theology and just having a lot of head knowledge. It's about living in your relationships. So he's covered marriage, family, parents. We're looking at this as workplace, but those were other relationships that were found in the home, master-slave. How do we live that out? And it all started with this one verse. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Right? Okay, see this concept here that Paul has just laid out, how God works and his structure, is there's this covering. When we're obedient, okay, obedience, we come under this big umbrella. If you're a single adult and you're not married, you're under this covering of obedience. In fact, there's relationships within the church that even in Ephesians we learned that we're to build one another up to good works. Okay, so there's this covering that we provide one another as the body of Christ. If you're in a family, okay, and you're walking in your role, whatever your role is in that, in obedience to what God's teaching here in Ephesians, if you're married and walking in obedience to that role, you're covered by that. See, he established these relationships as actually another covering and protection. And there's an opportunity, because we have a free will, to step outside of that at any given point. I'm not going to be obedient to my role in that. And there's a stepping outside of a covering and protection that comes with that, because now you're not going in the ways of God. The prodigal son story, remember the prodigal son who wanted his inheritance and he was out of there? He stepped out of that promise that God gave him in the commandment, honor your father and mother, and it will go well with you. He's like, I want my loot, I want my money, Dad, I'm out of here, I'm going to go live my life the way I want to live it. And he went and wound up living with, you know, pigs, basically. He had to get a job feeding pigs. And he wanted even just to eat the pig food that he didn't have under this covering of obedience. Okay? He went out over here with the pigs. But that's what we do. So these relationships are actually designed to be another covering. And so next week we'll talk about the armor of God, because I think very wisely again, Paul speaks of the armor of God, because now that we know these relationships and this covering, we're going to need the armor. We're going to need the Spirit of God to even walk now successfully in these roles that God's called us up to. So as we close, Rhonda and Jeff Price have an awesome offer to make to married couples. Why don't you come up and share that?
Awesome. Thank you, Jeff. How's everyone doing? Awesome. Yeah, it's great to be here. So earlier this year, Ron and I, we celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. Yes. Putting up with me for 30 years. There is a God. It's a miracle. Yes. But recently, the last, I don't know, month or so, we were talking about kind of a tune-up for us, maybe the 100,000-mile tune-up, I don't know. But just we thought about doing some marriage enrichment, just to kind of get back and look at what God says about marriage and just look at some different functions and issues of marriage. And so we thought, as we were talking about that, we just thought, well, wouldn't it be cool if we just invited other couples from Adventure to be part of that and join us doing that? And so that's what we're going to be doing. A couple of days ago, I was working on some equipment on my weed eater, and I hurriedly grabbed what I thought was an old rag, and I used it to help clean up my weed eater. I found out this morning that was a brand new towel my wife had just bought. One of the things we're going to be talking about is communication. So along with things that we're going to be talking about as well, kids and finances and parenting and just communication, of course. And we'd love to have you join us. And Ronald Dodd said this: the goal of marriage is not to think alike, but to think together. And that was really profound to me in the way that hit me about thinking together. How could we do a better job of that? So Ron is going to talk about a few of the logistics as we get rolling here.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm really excited about doing this study. Every time Jeff and I do a marriage study, it sparks a lot of great conversations at home, and it really has strengthened our marriage. So very excited about it and would love for you to join us. So the details: we are starting this Tuesday at the Fellowship Hall from 7 to 8:30. And Jeff, did you mention just 5 weeks? Okay, so it's a 5-week course or study. So we're going to bring some light refreshments, and we would love you to sign up. There's a little flyer in your bulletin. You can fill it out, give it to either Jeff or myself or Susan or Jeff. Or
you can put it in a box in the back there, too, yeah, on the table.
So. And if you leave today and think, oh, I really am interested, just email Susan, and Susan can let us know so we know how much to get for refreshments. But, again, just spark some great conversations and a lot of fun. So we'd love to see you join us.
Awesome. Thanks. Appreciate it. That's a great opportunity. So I encourage you to take advantage of that and really just bring that boost. So I want to tell you that after service here, there's prayer available if you'd like prayer for something up front in the front row here. Sandlot Sunday is at 1 o'clock down at Cherry Valley Elementary. Spike ball, Zach says, is going to be there, which is actually really fun. So if you don't know what spike ball is, you can even just come and watch people, and that's fun too. So I want to send you out with our benediction even from last week, because Paul continues to talk about relationships and it's relevant. So, as a member of the family of God, we are all called to submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. Welcome to the family. Love well in your relationships, and we will see you at the park. Bye.